Shine in Business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here is your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies for mid-sized companies between 20 and 200 million. One week it's about acquisitions, the next week it's about geographic expansion, and the next week it might be about franchising. And this week I'd like to share some logic behind when do you do an acquisition, when do you do a merger, when do you do strategic alliances, when do you do joint ventures, what's the difference anyway? And the reason that this topic has come up is, you know, it's not like a game of Jeopardy where you've got an answer and you're looking around for a problem. And I've seen a lot of companies that are having that issue. If they've read a book about acquisitions or they see M&A firms out there and they're hearing speeches, it's like the entrepreneur has talked themselves into, I need to do an acquisition, I'm looking for a problem or I'm looking for an opportunity that would cue me to do it. And it doesn't work that way. Or at least a lot, you know, what I've seen 36 years in being a growth strategist, I've specialized in companies that want to get on the Inc. 500 and stay there. So I've seen people get in trouble that are having a solution looking for an issue. And it's the other way around. So let's pose some problems. I mean, I got a call about a week ago from a gentleman that, you know, had just acquired a business. He'd gone through the negotiations. He's in an internet marketing kind of company. And somebody had approached him, and the guy was a baby boomer and looking to, you know, take his accounts, his website company, and, you know, put them someplace, and he wanted to cash out. And, you know, he maybe he'd stick around for a year, maybe he wouldn't, and he just wanted to have some money from the business that he'd developed for, you know, 20 years. Can't remember exactly how old the company was that approached him. I'm going to say that my, you know, the client that called me, his name's John. So this other guy calls John and says, I see that you're in the same kind of business. You've got a good reputation. Why don't we sit and talk? You know, I'm really getting kind of tired, and I've put in all this time and money into this. I really would like to get some money out of it. So you know, John knew the motivation of the guy coming to him. But what's John's motivation in buying him? And the concern I had was this particular guy wasn't a client of mine, and he didn't consult his attorneys, he didn't consult his, you know, accountants, and he didn't consult me as a growth strategist. And he just started to negotiate with this guy without thinking about where his strategic plan was going, without thinking about what money he had, without thinking about, you know, what kind of clients he was looking for. It was fascinating. Apparently John kind of lost himself in listening to this other guy's situation. And the rationale that he had was that he wants to be opportunity-driven. I've heard that phrase a lot of times. A lot of you that are listening to the program, you don't want to miss an opportunity, and you don't want to get restricted by a strategic plan that says you can only do this and you can only do that. And, it, you know, there's a real resistance to any kind of, you know, big piece of paper that tells you what to do. You know, you're independent and you own your own businesses, and you don't want to have anything stifle your creativity or rob you of opportunities. I get that. But if you're not centered when someone like this comes to you and don't pause for a second and go back to where is your business headed, you can end up like John did with a negotiation that was really about the other guy. So we got into this whole discussion with this other guy around valuation of the accounts and trying to figure out, you know, which clients would stay and which ones would leave. And the value of this other guy's talent, you know, and should he, you know, stick around or should he be, you know, paid to leave? And, you know, how would they fit it in and who would do the work? And how would they do the marketing to show that this company has been bought and is part of this bigger entity? And he got way into tactics long before John actually started to think about where his business was going. Now, why is that a problem? One of the real problems that happened for John was, surprise, surprise, he cuts the deal, he makes the offer, and finds out within about a week, literally a week of buying the business, that there was more debt than the guy let on. There were more unhappy customers than the guy let on. There were more small clients that were high maintenance, low profitability than he had let on. So even though John had done some due diligence, he wasn't centered enough to really look for the details. And he got in a hurry. So now, you know, so he makes a call to me saying, I just bought a business and, you know, we're running as fast as we can to take care of the clients. It only looks like about a third of them are going to stick. And so now I've got a cash flow issue. And so now he calls the strategic planner. And now he calls the tax accountant. And now he calls the attorney. It's like, wait a minute. Now, this was an extreme example, but you could find yourself in that situation pretty easily because there's a lot of baby boomers out there now who have, they held on to their businesses around the late 90s and early 2000s when the economy was better. A lot of them are resistant to retire. Many of them wanted to hang in there and just have, you know, have something to do. They're not wanting to stop. And the economy is more uncertain now. So there's a number of things cueing the baby boomers to want to get out. So more and more of you are being approached by tired baby boomers. So you're going to be in John's situation when you least expect it. Somebody can compliment you. They can say, you know, you look really bright. You have a really good reputation. Your business is this. Your business is that. And feed your ego. And then you start to take care of them. I found an awful lot of entrepreneurs are nurturers, and they want to take care of the other guy or the other gal. Now, what would be the different scenario? It certainly would have helped John if he paused for a moment and kind of looked at his business plan, which he didn't have. But, you know, so you can hear my opinion about that. If he's, you know, you should send her to actually have at least a one-page business plan, at least, the framework around which, the criteria around which you make decisions. So you could really have little alarms go off when something looks like the accounts are too small or they're not in your sweet spot or they're not in the range of profitability that your business should be based on, or they're not in the geography. You know, there could have been some alarms for John. In his case, once we did a single consultation and came up with criteria for the kinds of accounts that he's looking for in the next 2-3 years. And he has 5-6 industries that he's looking at. He has a size of account that he's comfortable with, he meaning, you know, his whole team. And there's a profitability range that they need to make it work. There's a lot of criteria. And, you know, so somebody approaches him, that's the first screen that he should use in deciding whether or not he's going to acquire a business. The second screen that we came up with was, what is he interested in buying? And, I mean, it turns out he really shouldn't have bought the company at all. Maybe some of the accounts, it could have been an asset purchase because, you know, why would John take on the debt? Why would John take on the burden of some of the bad accounts? Why should he take on some equipment that he doesn't need? Why should he take on, you know, the guy that's tired and doesn't want to be there anyway? And surprise, surprise, you know, a lot of the clients don't stick. When a baby boomer's been tired, they haven't been investing in marketing. They haven't been out there schmoozing and trying to get accounts. And so there's a flatness, and there's probably lack of investment in new technology, so that there's an oldness to the approach to business. There's a lot of reasons that when a baby boomer approaches you, you've got to listen really carefully to what have they been doing in the last few years and do the due diligence, you know, to interview clients of the person, you know, the company that you're looking to buy. And you may decide, as I wish that John had done, maybe he could have acquired some of this guy's accounts without the baggage. He didn't have to buy the company to get what he really needed. All that John needed or was comfortable with is about a third of this guy's accounts. He didn't need two-thirds of them anyway. A third of them were going to walk no matter what they did. A third of them were junk accounts that, you know, where this guy had, you know, babysat them for 20 years and spoiled them rotten, and they had lousy profitability. And so he really shouldn't have acquired the business in the first place. All he needed to do was acquire accounts. Okay, so the punchline of this particular example, think about it. Because you're going to get approached and because there are opportunities, it's important to know your criteria for what you're looking for. What kind of accounts are you looking for? What kind of profitability? What's the range? And so that when opportunities come to you, you have a screen. One screen is the types of accounts. Another screen is your debt tolerance. And John is ending up with some debt that he wasn't expecting because he wasn't real careful with the due diligence and ended up with a business that he really didn't need. What's your debt tolerance? What's your range? What's your parameters for how much debt you can tolerate? Okay, same thing with cash flow. What's the range of what you can tolerate in cash flow stress? It turns out because he acquired this business at kind of the wrong time in a very reactive way, John's now got some pressure on his cash flow, and he had been negotiating with a bank to increase his line of credit. Well, now he actually needs a line of credit, which, you know, if for several people, you know that you want to negotiate with a bank when you don't need the money. And it's pretty clear to the bankers, you know, that this new acquisition is stressing the cash. So he's going to get hit with a higher interest rate than he would have a month before. So what's your debt tolerance? What's the impact on cash? What kind of accounts do you want? And then the fourth thing I'd like you to think about is, what's the culture of your business? If your business is aggressive, if your business is new, if it's hot, if it's new technologies, if it is young, if it is aggressive, when you acquire a business that has been, you know, in existence for 30, 40 years, and the person at the top is tired of it, who's working there? How innovative is the technology? How fresh are they? And definitely, I don't want to stereotype, but you can look past the baby boomer and look at the staff. I have seen some baby boomers with some really hot employees where they've been investing in technology and they are, you know, they're cutting edge and they're doing better things than somebody in their 20s. Don't assume that they're all the same. But take a look, because the baby boomer is going to be the one that goes away. One way or the other, they're retiring. That was the reason they came to you. So what's the nature of the business? Does it fit? If I've seen some companies where they acquire a baby boomer business, and it was a lift to their technology. It was a lift, you know, they acquired some capabilities and some aggressiveness and some experience and some problem-solving expertise that they truly needed. But if somebody's approaching you because they're tired, don't be surprised if the primary impact on your business will be more of a slowdown, a sluggishness, spoiled accounts, non-profit, low profit, and baggage that you might not need. All right, I'm going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about another scenario. You can hear that John maybe should have acquired some accounts, but never bought that business. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about how you make the decisions between acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, and joint ventures. And I'm posing some examples of what people are facing in mid-market companies today and how they could make that decision. Let me pose something that's real common. Companies in the mid-market, they hit plateaus. It's really hard to get to the $50 million mark, and an awful lot of companies, they even have phrases in industries like top out at 20. And so, you know, you're at 20 million, you got about 100 people. And what's the dynamic that happens in a business like that? Say you're a distribution company and you've got 100, 110 people. You're big enough to have a lot of personnel problems, but not big enough to have the high-priced, you know, HR director. You're big enough to have logistics problems, but can you really afford the high-priced COO? You've probably been promoting the warehouse manager, and they don't necessarily know about the difference between hub and spoke and CDCs and all these kind of, you know, initials that are out there. You're big enough to have the need for a really complex system, but can you afford the software that's out there? You're big enough to have the complex financial issues, but can you afford the CFO that you need because, you know, you're really limping along with a controller. So you're at a really rotten size. So you start to plateau at about 20 million, and it feels like a struggle every day. Can you feel it? You know, put yourself in that situation. Even if you're not a distribution company, think about what it feels like to hit a plateau. You're just at a lousy size. So what should you consider? An acquisition, a merger, a strategic alliance, a joint venture, all of the above? Well, let's go through them. It's very tempting to think about an acquisition, because especially in some of the industries, there are people out there that have hit a smaller plateau, and they can see the value of being affiliated with a larger entity that is committed to investing in systems, committed to being, you know, there a long time, and they can latch on to it. So, you know, a lot of distribution companies, for example, will acquire a small independently owned branch, and the number of branches that they have can drive their having more central warehouses, more hubs for their business. Retail people can do that. And even some service folks, you know, the people in management consulting and in accounting and in legal, they can look at acquiring smaller boutique kind of firms that were ready to change but were reluctant to make the investment themselves. So, in other words, what you're leveraging is your interest in systems, your desire to grow, your commitment to have the CFO, your commitment to have the COO, your commitment to have the HR, your commitment to have the systems. That's what's going to be tested. And if you don't have that kind of commitment, and then you start to acquire boutique companies and, you know, multiple locations, it is a nightmare. It's the best way to word it. Because what they're buying is centralization. What they're buying is logic. What they're buying is consistency. And if you're not going to follow through with the COO, the HR, all these initials, and the systems, what you'll end up having is arguments. What you'll end up having is these independent people critical of what you're doing and having second-guessed why they affiliated and second-guessing your judgment, and wanting to have more and more say. So before you do acquisitions, when you're in that position, when you're at that topped out at 20 kind of role, make sure that you are committed to the systems and the investments in the higher level execs before you really go too far in acquisitions. Okay, let's ask the second question. Would you be interested in a merger if you're at that topped out at 20 kind of position? Well, the concern I have with that is that if you merge with an organization in a similar situation, that's what, you know, a lot of times that is, you'll spend so much time negotiating with each other and trying to blend the cultures and work out the details between comparably sized firms. And one of the problems with that is that, you know, some people think there's no such thing as a merger. Somebody, you know, ends up being the CEO. Somebody ends up being in the higher level position. And I think in this situation where you're topped out at 20, very few times have I seen a merger actually work. That's when equal firms or comparable firms are combining to get economies of scale. Now, it can work. I've seen people at the topped out at 20 level do it. But like I say, it's extremely expensive. It's more expensive than acquisitions. Okay, let's go to the next one. Now, what's the difference between a strategic alliance and a joint venture? I'm seeing an awful lot of companies waste time, in my opinion, on strategic alliances. That's where, you know, each of you agrees on what the other one's doing. You work together. Sometimes it's a vendor relationship that's called a strategic alliance. Sometimes it's, a complementary firm and you're going together to go after things together. But it's fairly loose. And the concern I have about strategic alliances is that if it stopped working or somebody doesn't feel like they got the attention that they deserved or they're not making the profit they want, nothing stops them from just dissolving or stopping. And, you know, conference calls that were booked every other week or meetings that were on the calendar for every other week just slow down and don't happen. Whereas a joint venture, that's a commitment. That's a contract. That's where two or three companies create another entity. That's where you combine and you're saying, we're going after a new market. We're going after a new product. We're going to do this together, and your firm might be better at marketing, and our firm is better at manufacturing, and the combination of us, we're going to create this other entity, and this is the amount of money that we're going to make, this is the amount of money we're both putting in, this is the time frame, and we're going to revisit whether or not that new entity continues after the end of the time frame, so it's much more structured. So let's go back to the question. You're topped out at 20, you're a distribution firm, you're big enough to have a lot of problems. Should you do strategic alliances or joint ventures? Okay, pause. Would you be ready for a joint venture? It's a structured agreement. It is, you know, committing. It is looking for complementary skills. Well, one of my thoughts is, what topped you out at 20 in the first place? What were you missing? What kept you from just going on and developing the systems, you know, committing the money, pulling yourself through that knothole? Maybe it was a gap in leadership, you know, that your management team wasn't strong enough. Maybe it was that you ran out of nerve. Maybe it was kind of a risk aversion that, you know, you had too much to lose by that point, so you're kind of hesitant to take on some challenges. Any of those kind of situations would say that you might be a good candidate for a joint venture because you'll be focused on everybody's behavior and structuring a deal, so you'll learn. You'll learn when you negotiate a joint venture. You learn from the accountants. You learn from the attorneys. You learn from watching how other people think and what commitment means and what return on investment is and measuring how much you're putting up and what you're supposed to get back. And I find negotiating a joint venture sometimes is the first step for you to go from being a president to a CEO. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes a successful joint venture is the first step for someone to move mentally from being president to becoming a real CEO. Because that might have been what kept you plateaued at 20 million, is that you're really presidential. And you got to learn how to be a CEO. Wow. Now, should you do a strategic alliance? Now, the concern I have, and you've already heard it, is that a lot of companies that are topped out at 20 million, if you get involved with a number of, and it ends up happening with a number of strategic alliances, you've got negotiations with some vendors, you've got negotiations with some customers, you've got negotiations with all these different people, and they don't really add up to having the muscle and the ROI, and there's not enough structure to it. So sometimes it can be noise, sometimes it can be distraction, sometimes it can distort, you know, you're so busy with the activities, you think you're making progress. Busyness is not growth. So I would suggest to you that in a situation where you're topped out at $20 million, consider acquisitions rather than merger, consider joint ventures rather than strategic alliances, and look at the structure of the deals, look at what real ROI is, think about the mindset of becoming a CEO. Remind yourself that you're going to be the one there. And I've often said that an acquisition is a company in search of a CEO, 9 times out of 10. That's what's involved. So my question to you is, are you committed to your company being on top? Are you committed to you or someone in your business? You know, sometimes it's not you. You decide, you know, you're, as an owner, you don't want to be the CEO, but your business needs to grow and it needs to get to that level. You can be chairman of the board, or you can be one of the owners and not make that career decision, but your company makes the commitment to having a CEO. So I would say, you know, think, hear the logic. If your situation is at the plateau, and you have those kind of dynamics, acquisitions are usually better than mergers, and joint ventures are usually better than strategic alliances. Now, I'm going to take this break just a tad early, and we'll be back, and I'll pose another situation for you to think about: when should you do acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, or joint ventures? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you ever had a bad day and wish someone could come along and change it at the flip of a switch? Do you dream of living the life of wealth, great relationships, and the perfect job, but don't know where to start? Then tune into The Winner's Attitude with corporate trainers, motivators, authors, and hosts Jeff and Val G. No difficult strategies or complicated keys. Jeff and Val present a powerful and effective technology to switch your operating system to create the most amazing life. It has been said that winners have simply formed the habit of doing amazing things. Winners know how to activate that switch, and so can you. The Winner's Attitude with Jeff and Val G. Broadcast each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Winner's Attitude. Switch me on.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldona Ambler, and I'd like to give you contact information for me. If you want to reach me in the United States, toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. I own multiple businesses, so I had too many telephone numbers, so that's the number you get if you want to deal directly with me. And the email is aldona@ambler.com, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. I'm always looking for ideas for the shows, potential guests, what are some of your problems, kinds of things that you're looking for me to cover. And today we're addressing acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, and joint ventures, and when do you do which? Okay, so let's pose a problem, or an opportunity. Let's say you're a growing company, you've been in business 5 years, and you're really committed to being on the Inc. 500. You're really aggressive. You've got some kind of a product that's got a value-added proposition. You make guarantees. You know, you get it. You're centered. And what's your biggest challenge in today's day and age? It's attraction and retention of top talent. It's got to be. The money's out there for folks. Sometimes it looks like it's difficult to get. But I got to tell you, the most limiting factor for most people who are aggressive about growing their business is attraction and retention of top talent. All the literature says that. All the studies show it. There's books about, you know, the impending crisis of, you know, too many jobs and too few people, blah-de-blah, blah-blah. Okay, do acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, or joint ventures help you attract and retain top talent? Yes. If that is one of your primary issues that, you know, that you need to be able to address in the next few years, I think that you're always saying you are recruiting. You are always looking to buy companies. You are always looking for deals. And you don't care which form it takes. If you really are aggressively growing and you're looking for top talent, well, you care if it comes in the form of employees, subcontractors, a partnership, an acquisition, a merger, strategic alliance, whatever form it needs to take. The message I have here is stay open. One of the have your mind be open, and you can have your attorneys and accountants help you figure out what the structure of the deal is. Don't go looking for an acquisition. Don't go looking for a merger. Don't go looking for an alliance. Look for talent, because it can come in the form of somebody who is currently working for another person, another company, and is ready for a promotion, but the opportunity is not there. So it could come in the form of an employee who then turns around and brings several people with them. It could come in the form of a small business where somebody felt they needed to go off on their own. Maybe they were in the corporate sector, and they went off on their own. But being isolated and working from their home really is not what it's cracked up to be. It is isolating, and not everybody's an entrepreneur. They may like doing their work, but you know, they may be felt forced to become independent. So don't assume just because someone has a small business that that was their life aspiration and that they couldn't be acquired to become a department for you, or to be one of the lead people over their technique. So I would just say to you, you're a talent magnet when you're trying to grow. And, you know, don't write off that if somebody looks really capable, that if they're busy, that they're not available. Because if you're exciting, if your business is on the move, and there's opportunity, and there's compensation potential, and there's you know, work to be done and learning to be had, people make life changes in where they work and how they have it structured all the time. So is your business a magnet for talent? That's the question. And not get hung up on the structure of the deal. It may end up at some point being a merger technically. What do you care? If, you know, if your business keeps going, if the primary thing that you're looking at is attraction and retention of top talent, you're not going to care about the structure of the deal. Hear it? I've said it 4 times. I'm serious. You may end up with a joint venture, where, you know, the persons that you're negotiating with really have a specific focus. You have more of a general focus, but they have a specific talent. They have a specific technology. They have a specific product. So the way to protect you and them is to create an entity for them to be able to play in their area of expertise. They may not want to be part of your whole business. They may not want to get blurred into everything that you're doing. So you structure a joint venture that protects you and them, and you both go after some money together. See? So it depends on what you're doing. That's the whole point of these examples is, where were you headed, what were your priorities, and therefore, which of these deals should you be looking for? All right, let's try another example. Let's say you're up against tough competition, and you're in one of those industries where everybody's becoming kind of a commodity. I think about the mortgage lenders. I think about people who handle equipment leasing, some retailers. There's a lot of industries where, Boy, it's tough to have value added because they're all sound the same. The names of the companies are blurring. You know, you may think that you're trying to be distinctive, but, you know, to really push a brand campaign for your company, it's just costing you so much money to be distinctive. And basically the only, distinguishing factors that people have is maybe geography or maybe a little bit of the way that you do business, but some of you clearly are in a commodity business. Gas stations are clearly a commodity. The people, like I said, the equipment leasers, lessors, I mean, they really feel that way. Okay. That's your dilemma? Would acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, or joint ventures help you? I'm going to add one option. Roll up. That's a different form. Okay. Sometimes when there's an industry that is, you know, it's almost like cannibalized and people keep trading folks within the industry. Electrical wholesaling was like that for a while. Plumbing and heating and HVAC was like that for a while, where, you know, basically they assumed the person had to have experience in the product line to be able to work for you, which I disagree with. But there's this cannibalization where you keep hiring the same people from each other. And, you know, there's startovers instead of advancement. And companies, you know, start again rather than grow. If you're in one of those industries, a roll-up might be an interesting idea for you. That's where an entity is created, where several businesses combine at the same, you know, around the same time. It can take 2 years to do a massive roll-up, where they become a larger entity. There's like a holding company that's created, and it can be a national firm or an international firm. It's kind of like a franchise outfit, and you create a national entity. And these other businesses that were all commodities before now have the leverage, now have the value added of being part of this national outfit that has centralized marketing, that has centralized accounting, centralized personnel policies, centralized systems. They get to leverage the administrative costs. And you might think about, you know, if you're feeling like no matter what you do, it's the same. You might want to lead a roll-up because the money can work. It changes the dynamics in the industry. Now, I've seen some industries where they'll say, roll-ups don't work in our industry, and they point to the one that's happened in the last 10 years. Well, okay, do the research about what made it fall apart. Did it fall apart because they didn't have decent attorneys? Did it fall apart because they didn't have decent accountants? Did it fall apart because they approached businesses that were going to be dissolving and weren't ready to continue? Find out what made it fall apart before you presume that a roll-up isn't right for your industry, because it could be. Staying stuck in a commodity kind of a business is very frustrating, very costly, and very draining. And anytime someone uses the word, you know, they're energy sappers, you know, and it's draining when they're not having fun with their business, how do you turn that emotion around? How do you turn the energy around? And sometimes creating a national network, creating a national entity, creating the equivalent of a franchise is the way to go. Okay, could an acquisition help you if you're seen as a commodity? Now, here's the concern I have. You could spend a lot of money acquiring, you know, equipment or acquiring, some talent, acquiring technology. But if you haven't addressed the positioning, if you haven't addressed the perception in the market that you're the same as everybody else, you could spend a lot of money and not get the return on investment. It's like it might help you, but it might not make you money. Would you think about a merger? Well, the merger I was talking about is more like a roll-up. Could you do strategic alliances? Sure. One of the ways you could do a strategic alliance is marketing-related. Can you look for people, other companies, other entities that don't have a commodity problem? Look for people who are excited, and cooperative marketing would help. So outside of your industry, is someone else be able to talk about what you do and partner with you? Maybe you negotiate commissions with a lot of different kinds of vendors all around what you do, so that you can leverage your personal relationships, leverage your customer relationships, leverage your vendor relationships, leverage the excitement of their industry, so that you have more access and more excitement than if you just stayed put. Advertising it the same way, the same old way. Okay, should you do joint ventures if you're in a commodity industry and everything is seeming the same? Well, a joint venture would make some sense if you were reaching outside of what you're doing. if you were creating a new product, experimenting with a second business, looking for something that doesn't feel like a commodity, I think a joint venture would make sense because it protects the core business. If it dies, if the second idea doesn't work, you still have the core business to go back to. And some of the people in your business who want to play there can, you know, apply for the position, and they know it's separate, and you don't, you know, sap the money, sap the energy, distract from the core business while you do it. And your joint venture reminds you it's a separate negotiation. Okay, one more for, and then we'll take a break. Okay, what if your business is you're the baby boomer, and you've been in business for 30 years, and you've been investing like crazy, and you've got something hot. You've got really good talent. You've got really, you know, you've got the management team, and you're smart enough that you're looking, you're thinking about your retirement, and you have succession in mind, but you're not old yet. You know, you've still got energy, and, you know, you're at the top of your game, but you're wanting to be proactive. You're not going to wait until you get tired. You're not going to wait until you have a stroke. You're not going to wait until, you know, you're forced to do this. All right, which of these do you think you're going to be doing? Are you going to do an acquisition, a merger, a strategic alliance, a joint venture, or a roll-up? Okay, now I'm going to take a break. I want you to think about, because there's a number of you that are in the baby boomer zone and are being proactive. Good for you. Which one are you considering? Okay, after the break, we'll answer that question. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldona Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldona played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldona Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune into Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about when do you do acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, or joint ventures? And, you know, acquisitions, one of the things that you're looking at is you're often acquiring a specific thing. It's not just a business that you're looking at. You're trying to go after a new market. You're trying to eliminate a competitor. You're trying to, you know, make sure that you get a new technology. Sometimes you're looking for a new location. There was a reason that you would be considering acquisition, you know, acquiring somebody. It's not just for a power play. It's not just to be able to say, you know, you're acquiring companies. There was a reason, and I want to reinforce that with all of this. What were you trying to do that made you do these techniques? It's not that you're married to the technique and you're looking for something to try to do. It's the main point of this. I really want you to think about where you're headed so the technique flows from. It's like form follows function. What kind of thing were you trying to do? Okay, so before the break, I posed what you're trying to do is be proactive in your succession. You're a baby boomer, and you don't want to wait till you're tired. You don't want to wait till you're retired to make a decision. And you're trying to build your business while it's exciting, and you're making money, and you're on the move, and you've invested in systems and your hot technology. There's nothing old about you. Can you identify with that? Okay, do acquisitions, mergers, strategic alliances, or joint ventures help you? You bet. Okay, just like the company a couple of minutes ago I was talking about where you're on the move and you're always looking. You're always looking to hire. You're always recruiting. You're always looking for a new deal. You're always looking to acquire. And, you know, whatever the deal, the structure of the deal is, fine. It's similar for the baby boomer that's looking at succession. And the ones I get concerned about are the ones that talk themselves into solution. In other words, for example, the family business that is trying so hard to get the next generation to want to take over. And they have in their minds that the legacy of the business, and it's important to have it in the family, and even if the second generation or the third generation doesn't want it, it's like the first generation has such a hard time hearing it, accepting it, that their preoccupation is converting people. It's almost like religion. They're trying to convert them to their religion. And a lot of time and money is spent on that conversion rather than on building the business. And the same thing can happen to people in a non-family business. If they've come to the conclusion that the only way to grow it is to grow it from within, and they'll talk themselves into some junior person as having presidential capabilities or having, you know, executive capabilities, and spend a lot of time selling them on the business rather than seeing it flower and having it develop over time and having it be self-evident. So again, the punchline, very similar, is, you know, if you're married to the punchline, if you're married to the method, if you're presuming that it must be, you know, promoting from within, or must be, you know, a family-held business, instead of looking at where the business is headed, you can get into a lot of trouble. You can spend a lot of money, and it can be distracting. So where should the business go? It's not just about succession for you. It's not the punchline of who it is. What does the business need? So analyze it and say, okay, if you step back, what's the gap? What kind of skills would be missing? What kind of leadership void does it leave? Maybe you're the lead salesperson still. And what you need to be looking at is having sales capability built into the company before you exit. So, like, just take that example. Sales capability can come in the form of an acquisition. I have seen people, companies, acquire small sales-oriented companies. Little tiny businesses where the top dog is an excellent salesperson, had a group of people that maybe they were sales rep, tech reps for the industry, and they become the sales department for the larger company, yours. While you're still there as a safety net, bringing on a sales manager, bringing on a sales exec with a team of people can be what you need to do. Now, that can just be hiring, but it could also be through an acquisition. Okay, would it happen through a strategic alliance? Would bringing on sales folks through a strategic alliance work? I don't think so. That's too loose. It's not contractual. It's too easy for somebody to have one foot in the door and one foot out. I don't think so. Could it be done through a joint venture? Well, that's a little tricky because it's creating another entity instead of really shoring up the core entity. So in other words, you're looking for options that shore up the core entity when succession is your primary issue. Okay, let's say your skill set is in general management. You're a really good president. You do have balance and people follow you and you can see the big picture. You're a visionary. Okay, if you step back, that's a big gap. You're looking for that. Okay, now screen the people that exist in the business. 9 times out of 10, if that's really what you've been, it doesn't exist in the business because why would it? You've been hiring folks to be complementary to you. You'll have a specialist in operation. You'll have a specialist in finance. You'll have a specialist in administration. You'll have a specialist in marketing and sales. They're not necessarily going to have, you know, the whole wide view. They're not going to have the vision of the whole business because that was your role. So don't be surprised if you have to look outside. Okay, is that going to come in the form of an acquisition? Okay, think about it. Would you be able to acquire a CEO? Now, acquire is like a business. I've seen it happen, but it's pretty rare. But I have seen it done through a merger. I've seen it done where you look for another company that is complementary, and they have a CEO in place that is not going anywhere. That's your replacement. And you can negotiate the combination of the two companies and have you step back. This is one of the places where a merger does pay off. Again, these, you know, the companies in search of a CEO is one of the dynamics. Could you do a strategic alliance to get a CEO? I've actually seen that work, where there's a loose affiliation for a while for you to be working with somebody to test it out and see if the relationship's there, see if the, you know, connection's there, see if people want to follow the key person that's involved in the strategic alliance, and then negotiate a separate transaction for the CEO, for that person to become the CEO. Would a joint venture be a way for you to get a CEO if you're a visionary and you have the whole picture? I've seen that work. I've seen it where there was a new product that was developed that you start working on, new technologies, you try it as a separate entity, you get used to working with each other, used to measuring ROI, and then you can replicate it across the core business. So if you're in a situation where what you're trying to do is bring on a CEO, can you hear that you can do it probably through a merger, you could do it probably through a joint venture, and you might be able to do it through a strategic alliance. But it's pretty unlikely that you're going to do it through acquisition. So what I wanted you to hear is some practical examples of situations that people are facing. If you play this again, you'll hear we covered baby boomers approaching you, wanting to sell their company to you. Make sure you're centered as to where you're headed so that you don't get lost in the details of taking care of them and buying more than you need. You may only be wanting to an asset purchase. You may only need the clients or the technology or their equipment. You may not need all the baggage that comes with buying a company. We talked about a situation where you're aggressively growing and that it's important for you to think about acquisitions at that time and not strategic alliances. It's too loose. And be on the lookout for people all the time. You're a talent magnet and not be married to the punchline of exactly what form the deal comes. If you're at a plateau, there's a reason. You've got to be looking for the solution to the problem that left you at a plateau. And sometimes a roll-up would be the answer to it. Sometimes a joint venture would be the answer to it. Kind of think through what makes you commit, what makes you do systems, what makes you follow through so it's clear that you're the CEO that's going to stay. We've talked about situations where you're going to be dealing with succession. Now, go back over it and see which time, which one you're in as to which option you're going to consider. My wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.